This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Major League Soccer on the BetRivers Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome on into the Betting Weekly MLS podcast brought to you by BetRivers. Head on over to BetRivers.com today and sign up for an account. Get in on the action with us. I'm your host, Thomas Viola, and I desperately need a haircut. But joining me, as always, none other than my faithful co-host, Taylor Wilson. And Taylor, we are riding high. It's been 2 weeks since we've been able to convene for a show. We've got the international break going on right now, so offerings are limited. We've got 5 games to talk about today. Last week only had 1 game. Didn't really need to touch on that. But the week before, you went absolutely off, my friend.
Yeah, well, first of all, we have very different definitions for haircuts. You'll see the locks going way out of the hat there at the back. But yeah, Tom, this is a rare occasion coming back off of a great week. Granted, of course, the luck of the scheduling gods has it so that we don't have a show immediately after my first banger of a week on the program. But that's okay. I'm gonna revel in it no matter what. 10-4 plus 5.32 units. I appreciate that, Mr. Viola. This was a rare week where things were just going, again, reminder to the listeners, this is 2 weeks ago now. Things on that Saturday, they just started out to get, it was a 6-0 start, Tom, to the slate. And I was just thinking, look, if we can hit even one or two of these big, like if we get Austin at 3 or 4 to 1 odds the following day, this is going to be enough units to make up for basically the entire wash earlier in the year. Didn't quite get some of those Sunday plays, did get the Sounders late. Ultimately, though, I'll take 10-4 any day of the week. Really, I would take 10-4 in any league in the world. In MLS, absolutely thrilled about that kind of a record. The unit stuff, you know, again, I went more conservative with some of those plays. So some of those, you're not getting as much unit help as you would ordinarily expect. You're seeing that 5 units in change. Sometimes you could have a 500 record and have a better unit haul than that, Tom. But I'll take it. You know, I made a strategy going into that week saying, hey, let's shift the, you know, both teams to scores into maybe just a simple over. Let's not do as many same game parlays. And the strategy paid off. So I'm going to try to continue with that trend the rest of the year. Obviously, a smaller slate this time around. We'll see what happens. But we're learning as we go, aren't we, Tom?
That we are. But we're at the point now where we can start kind of getting a sense of what these teams are going to look like. We know relatively who the good teams and who the bad teams are. It's MLS, so there's a lot more unpredictability. There's a lot more variance week to week than other soccer leagues. But it also means, again, if you can identify those spots of variance, well, you can get pretty great prices on them because it's not a well-paid attention to league. This is where we have our edge as bettors. I didn't have quite as good a week as you, but I did go 6-5 up a unit. Ooh. My total plays, I'm now 32-42, which sounds horrendous. I'm only down 0.9 units now. Yeah. This week, we're getting back into the positive. I'm calling my shot there. But on soccer betting as a whole for the year, Taylor, I have to give a shout out to our friends at BetRivers here. I was back in New Jersey a couple weeks ago, decided, hey, you know what? I'm here. Let's take advantage of that 250 match sign up bonus that BetRivers has right now. So I set up my account. I put in $100, got $100 match. Use that code plus, use code 250 match, and BetRivers will give you up to $250 in deposit match right now when you set up an account. I set it up. I got my deposit match money, and I had a little bit of free play money left over. I'm sitting on the tarmac getting ready to leave to head back on west to Vegas. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I've got $40 in free play. I have to spend it here. And I made myself a nice little 14 parlay, took some NHL action, took some NBA action, and I rounded it all off with Real Madrid anytime winner in the Champions League final. Turns out I could have gone money line, but at 15-1 or so, that $40 parlay paid out $700, my friend.
Unbelievable.
Paid for my birthday dinner. It was a good feeling.
Unbelievable. Well, they're going to have to rethink these promos, Tom, when Shark Viola comes to town. I mean, good God.
And, you know, shout out to Bet Rivers. The support was crucial in this parlay because you know how airports can be a little wonky with finding your phone. The app got tricked and was like, you're not in New Jersey anymore. You can't make this bet. And I'm like, but I'm still in New Jersey for another 5 minutes. And I shot over to BetRivers support. They very quickly helped me out, got my account back where it needed to be. And right before the plane was taken off, I was able to place my bet. We got very lucky there. Almost wouldn't have happened. So wanted to give a shout out to them before we get into the slate. But it is time, Taylor. Like we said, we've got five games this week. Three on the weekend, two in the midweek. And we're going to dive into all of them here. Starting off, Charlotte versus the Red Bulls. Charlotte's plus 220 in this game. The Red Bulls, they are plus 118. It is in Charlotte. The draw, $2.45. And I'm going Red Bulls all the way here. You've got a Charlotte team that has an insane home road split. They just one home loss in their last five. But three of these wins are over Atlanta, Miami, and Vancouver. New England wasn't playing well when they beat them, and Cincinnati, they've been in much better form lately than when these two teams played. They've had a little element of luck on this home form. They're the second worst team in the league on road expected goals allowed, and no one's been better on the road than New York Red Bulls. Yes, they lost to Miami. Yes, they drew with Philly in the match before that, but this is a higher class of road team than Charlotte is, and they are rightful favorites. I expect them to get it done.
This was a tough read for me. First of all, this is a Charlotte team coming into the interim manager era after getting rid of Miguel Angel Ramirez.
What was that? That made no sense.
Well, no, it shocked anyone who follows this league was completely shocked by it, knowing how difficult, Tom, it is to be an expansion team in general. I mean, usually the assumption is with a lot of these managers, it might be like a 2-year project. Maybe we don't care actually that much about the results this year. It's more about jersey sales. It's more about gate ticket receipts, that kind of stuff, that kind of side of the business.
Yeah.
And yet Charlotte at home has actually been getting the results. You've mentioned, okay, some of that is scheduling luck, but honestly, the defensive form has been really, really good. They've been very difficult to score against when they're playing there. And I don't know. It's just like, this is a team that was finally, at least from the outsider perspective, finally getting a little bit of identity, certainly on the defensive side of things. And identity is something that half the teams in this league are desperate to find. So it was a little bit surprising. You start reading in between the lines a little bit, and apparently there's been drama with this guy, you know, going back to the hiring, going back to preseason, a lot of tension between him not kind of getting the purse strings opened that he wanted, the kind of spending that he wanted. And you see this in terms of the attacking players on this team, very little quality going forward. It's been kind of all the defensive side of the ball. And apparently, like, after losses, he would just walk into the changing room and ignore the players. He'd just go right to the office, no speech. And there was just a huge division inside. So a lot of us, you know, maybe some of the Charlotte beat people knew this. A lot of us covering the league had no idea really that things had gotten this bad behind closed doors. Regardless, this will be the first game for interim manager Christian Latanzio. Who knows what he's going to do? Typically for an interim guy, you're going to kind of try to keep the base to the basics, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I think they'll try to maintain that as their bread and butter, especially at home. This is a tough one though, because you don't know how quickly things are going to change, how quickly the bottom is going to fall out for Charlotte. It could be very quick. You mentioned the Red Bulls. They are the best team on the road in terms of points per game in MLS this year. Charlotte, they're the fourth best at home in terms of points per game this year. You mentioned some of the scheduling stuff. That's still really good, especially for an expansion side. It's a team that I've been able to profit on a lot this year. And the Red Bulls, you know, they've kind of underperformed and are still in fourth place in the East, which is a pretty good sign for them. But their recent form, their last five, it's been a lot of draws. It's been a lot of games that they should have won falling into the draw. So all of those numbers, maybe this is a classic T-Will overthink, but a lot of that feels a little bit to me like a coin flip. I'm just going to follow the price on this one, Tom. I'm going to take Charlotte again. I'm not going to rethink Charlotte yet just because of a new manager. I need to see what the team looks like. Not one of my favorite plays of the week. I have it really as a kind of 50-50 read. When that happens, especially in this league, I'm taking the plus 220. I'm just taking the better price for a team that has often proven the haters wrong at home this year, Tom. So give me Charlotte plus 220, full disagreement out the gate.
All right, full disagreement here. You know that means that this game is ending in a draw. So if I were you, I'd look at a draw, no bet price on one of these teams, whoever you seem to like. That's probably not a bad way to go because this game could very well end in that draw we could see it there. But I think that the Red Bulls get it done. I think the Red Bulls recognize that they have to get off the schneid and close out some of these games. So I'm going to go with them here.
I do think the Red Bulls are a better team in a vacuum. So it's not the type of play I love to bet against a team that I do think is more talented and better. I just am going to keep following the trend data until kind of until I'm proven otherwise with Charlotte at home. It's worked out so far this year. Also in the draw play, that was the first thing I looked at just because the Red Bulls have been falling into draws so much this year. You're getting great value, I think, at plus 250, not right in front of me at the moment. But the problem is Charlotte has been a terrible draw team this year, only 1-14. For them this season. So that's kind of what scared me off the scent there a little bit. But I don't hate that either. I honestly, there's a lot of value there. If you're someone who bets draws, don't hate it in this spot.
Well, someone here has to be right, seeing as we've covered all three betting angles. So we have our bases covered. Nashville versus San Jose is the next game up here. And Nashville, no surprise, they are the home favorite, minus 141. Quakes $3.35 dogs and the draw at 3-1 in this spot. Nashville is the play here. The Quakes have yet to get a road win this season. I don't see it starting against the Nashville team that's unbeaten in the last month and has been phenomenal at home in the short time that they've had their own home stadium here. But minus 141, that's a little bit of juice. I think that there's value to be had on a same game parlay here because San Jose's got a whopping minus eight road goal differential, and all four of their last four games on the road have gone over, including that seven goal fiasco they had a couple games back. A simple Nashville and over is plus 150, and that's what I'm going to go with here. I'm going to put the two together, and I'm going to say that this game has enough goals. The Quakes are normally good for one. Jeremy Obobese at plus 280 anytime goal scorer. He's already got 9 on the season. That's not a bad play at all if you want to get in on that market, as him being the most favorite Quakes player to get a goal. They typically love to attack and love to score and hate to play defense, especially on the road. This is the perfect recipe for one of those overs, so I'm going to take that with Nashville to hold on to their end of the bargain and finish out the game with a win.
Man, first of all, top goal scorer, top assist maker in the league, both on San Jose with Christian Espinoza in the assist department and Obobese in the goals department. So
this offense is fun.
Yeah, we think of San Jose kind of always as having these types of teams, but this is a particularly often it's just wide open kind of mania. There actually are real quality attacking players on this side.
Yeah.
I will say that. So that's something to consider anytime you're looking at a both teams to score market. Anytime you're looking at an over market, those were the first two things that I looked here.
And both teams to score, by the way, minus 132. Yeah. There's a lot of value in that.
Yeah,
there is a lot of value.
I really hope you don't talk me into an SGP here, a same game parlay, Tom, because this would have, before my kind of shift, my vibe shift, if you will, a couple of weeks ago when I started to just kind of keep things a little bit simpler, I would have absolutely done Nashville and an over, or Nashville and both teams to score parlay together here. I'm just going more conservative these days. So we're reading this game exactly the same. 4 of the last 6 for San Jose, all comps have gone over. 5 of the last 6 for Nashville, all comps have gone over. These are becoming pretty solid, reliable over teams, especially Nashville at home. By the way, can we just say really quick, Nashville coming off of a very impressive 3-1 win against the Rapids in the vortex that is Colorado. That was one of my, I will say, few misses last week, because the trend data says that should not happen in Colorado. And then it's exactly what happened. So that was a weird game, but big shout out to Nashville, who I do think they're figuring some things out with this attack right now. Hanny Mukhtar is incredible. The entire unit, they're figuring things out in central midfield. And like we just said, the Quakes are a good attacking side. So having said all that, it was kind of, for me, just, do I do both teams to score or do I do the over? Over 2.5 is -1. I had it at -136. I added both teams to score at -132. Both plays I like. Ultimately, I'm choosing the over. I'm just going to go simple. Over 2.5 goals. I think I agree with you. I think San Jose gets you at least one. Whether or not you need that, we'll see. But I do think this is a 2-1, 3-1 kind of Nashville win. That's how I'm reading it. I respect the same game parlay. There's a lot of value there. You're going to be the one smiling with better units at the end of the week. But I'm going to go more conservative. So just over 2.5.
And if it ends Nashville 2-0, then we're both miserable.
Exactly.
Third game up here, Sporting Kansas City versus the New England Revolution. The Revs, they are $1.32 favorites. Still in the plus money, though. And the Sporting Kansas City 2-1 at home as the dog in this spot. Plus 240 is the draw price here. This game is a little tougher. I mean, Sporting has been ravaged by injuries to key players this season. They've lost so many players, including two DPs for the entire year to knee surgery. It's looking like a lost campaign for them. New England's kind of rounded into form before the break here. They drew 1-1 with Philly, lost a tough 1-0 to New York in their last road game, City, not Red Bulls. And they beat a team, an FC Cincy team that's surprised. But their overall form's been very bad, mostly because they're just not good this season. I want to lean Revs plus 132, but they've got no Matt Turner. Like you said, this is going to be really rough for this team moving forward throughout the league as they lose both him and Gill for the rest of the season now to transfers. I can't trust them in this spot, so I don't want to take a price in this game.
Yeah, Buxa, out of Buxa, there is heading out to France. Yeah, well, and this is the thing now for like similar to our conversation on Charlotte, what's going to happen in the post Miguel Angel Ramirez era? It is now the post Buxa, post Matt Turner summer for New England. And this wasn't a particularly good team with them. They were fine. They were a team that was hard to stop there. Look, if you look at their highlight reels, like they've scored some really nice goals this year. They've overperformed their single game XG often because of that. And they can often score goals pretty nicely away from home as well. So this would be the kind of spot where it's like, I throw my hands up and I don't really like anything on it until this new kind of post-Buxa era. I mean, you're talking about a guy leaving the team who'd scored 32% of their 22 goals this season. That's a big chunk that they need to try to replace. Gil, Legette, can they pick up the slack? Can they figure someone else to slot into number nine? We don't know the answers to those questions. We do know who KC is, which is just a bad team. I don't, you know,
yeah.
Take your pick, them or Chicago, the worst teams in the league, I would say, at this point. Certainly they're, you know, the table would dictate as much. I don't know. I didn't like either side here. Ultimately, I think I'm going to go with the Sporting home form and take an under. You know, this is an SKC team that's conceded fewer than a goal a game at home this year. New England, again, they have been one of the better road attacking teams with 12 in their six games. That's two a game average. That's really good. It's just how many of those are Adam Buxa, you know, and can they figure it out here against, look, Sporting's not good, but they are solid enough defensively, especially at home. I'm going to go under 2.5. It's my least favorite type of play in Major League Soccer. I think it makes sense in this spot here, Tom.
It makes a lot of sense here. A
little bit of juice, minus 114, but under 2.5.
I like that a lot. If I was to lean anything in this game, like I said, I kind of lean Revs, but I like that under spot a lot more. I don't think that either team is really interested in scoring goals at this point. I could see this one even ending 0-0. I'm not going to look into any exact prices. Might look into the draw market. There's nothing I'm putting on the record here, but I like the underplay.
Draw at plus 250 is reasonable enough. If that, again, if that's the kind of play that you make, if that's the type of bettor you are, this would be a fair enough spot for that. 1-1, 0-0. Both of those plays make sense here. So I don't hate that. The value is there. I just don't, especially in MLS, I'm not betting draws very often. There's good value in the market.
Yeah.
But I'd rather, like I say, I'd rather keep it simpler for myself and just take an under.
And now before we came on air here, we were talking about this New England team and the big problem, like you said, no Buxa and no Matt Turner. They weren't that good with those players. They were looking very mediocre. I think that they're about to struggle even further here. Bruce Arena's time, dare I say it, a year after almost winning the Supporters Shield, they could be bounced. He could be out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we're going to, you're going to, this is the part of the season. It's not dissimilar with baseball, right? With just how, you know, things are warming up. You start to kind of figure teams out a little bit more. MLS, you know, there are often results where you have to throw trend data out. But I do think, Tom, in these summer months, we're going to start getting a little bit clearer of a picture of kind of who's good, who's bad in this league. There will always be teams that, you know, the Orlandos of the world, we'll talk about them in a second, who exist kind of to defy every number that's available, and you can't really figure them out week to week. But we're starting to get a little bit of trend data in a bigger sample size, which is nice.
By the way, quick addendum, they did win the Supporters Shield last year. I was going to say, I didn't think it was Philly. I caught myself there. But just an awful slide for the Revolution coming off that season where they really will feel hard done that they didn't win the Cup. And then to come back this year, it has not been pretty so far. But this next game, talk about a team that has had a lot of success, but it's not been pretty so far this year. The Sounders are taking on the Whitecaps on Tuesday. Sounders are at home minus 155, Vancouver plus 425 on the road in the draw, 295. This is some numbers that we're seeing elsewhere. Bet Rivers, they don't have Bet Rivers hasn't listed the midweek games yet. They should soon, and we should see them around similar prices to these. I'm going to guess Seattle's going to be in the minus 150. I'm just looking at some look ahead lines that we've got from around the space. I mean, I'm taking Seattle at home. I'll lay what juice I have to with them. If this is going to be the price range, I'm more than comfortable. I'm more than comfortable laying that juice against a Vancouver team that has just been absolute trash. They're horrendous on the road and at home, but especially on the road. Sounders need to be starting to pick up points after the CONCACAF Champions League. They've won it. Now they need to get back to focusing on MLS. This is a spot to do just that.
Yeah, it's a rivalry game, Cascadian Derby. A lot of people think about the Seattle Portland rivalry, but this is a part of it as well. The kind of the little brother, I guess, if you will, of Seattle Vancouver there north of the border. Historically, Seattle has pretty much dominated this. 17 wins to Vancouver 7. There's a bunch of draws there in the midst as well, but those numbers shouldn't be surprising to anyone who's followed this league in recent years. I mean, Seattle is constantly making deep playoff runs, and Vancouver is not. Vancouver. Similar to a few teams around the league, you mentioned Sporting, Atlanta United, Vancouver's right in that mix of just injury plague teams. A lot of their plans have gone completely out the window this year. They lost another couple players in their win over RSL over the weekend, which should have been full celebration mode for them, beating a team that I think you and I both now agree RSL is good, and then they go to Vancouver and they lose. So who knows with this league, right? But you're absolutely right. What we do know is Vancouver's not very good away from home. Just one win in seven away this year. You know who they beat in that one, Tom? Sporting Kansas City, who we just mentioned is not particularly good themselves. So I absolutely look. It's not a long trip, but it is a tough environment. It'll be very hostile in a rivalry matchup as well. And look, this is the post North American champion Sounders at this point, not having to worry about all of that anymore. They can focus up on MLS. We like a Sounders team that can focus up on MLS. I agree with you. The numbers, you're not going to get a ton of value here no matter what. The question for this game is, do you do something like a minus one spread play, or do you just take the money line? But you like the money line here, Tom.
I was actually just about to interject with that. This is a game where I'm going to toss around a minus one spread play. Okay. Again, we don't have the lines out just yet, and other books don't have the same offerings. It's great with Bet Rivers. You've got that little slider, and you can completely adjust to the spread that you want to take.
The slider. Big slider fan.
Huge slider fan here. I'm going to wait and I'm going to hit that slider and see what the minus one price looks like. I doubt that I'm going to get, I should probably end up in the region of even money. I feel pretty comfortable taking that with some push protection.
That makes sense to me. I'll offer up my official play, something in the, I guess we don't have the official numbers, but I like my first thought on this was anything under minus 200, inside minus 200. I'm probably taking the Sounders. And if they're somewhere in like minus 150, minus 160, which is looking like what the market is dictating right now, I think that's perfectly reasonable. Certainly a contender for whatever kind of parlays you're thinking about this week as well. I would think about putting Seattle in there. There's not a lot of options. We have a smaller slate this week. Seattle is probably one of the best ones. You might have trouble finding something else to pair with them. Maybe you would do Red Bulls. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the Sounders to win this game. I think I'm just going to do money line. I have it down at minus 155. We'll see what Bet Rivers brings out when those numbers are listed. You're going to go more aggressive with the minus one, or at least take a look at that market. But we're in full agreement. I mean, the Sounders will win this game. And I think they're back. It's heating up. It's June. It's Sounders time. It's time to, you know, the march to the playoffs is here.
That is correct. The march to the playoffs is here. And we have one more game to march through. And we're going back to New England. It's the Revolution versus Orlando. Like we said, no lines just yet. But Orlando, around other shops, they're hovering around 4-1. New England in that same minus 150, 160 area. Draw about the same. This is a similar spread in a game that should not be this similar. Orlando's been weird this year.
Yeah.
They're the sixth best road team in the league by record, but their XG per 90 says this record is very deceptive. They're one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference with a minus 0.75 XG per 90 on the road. And their road XG, not per 90, just flat out road XG, is the league's worst. But New England's got a very short week here playing Sunday to Wednesday. This line shouldn't be 4-1. This should be closer to, I'd say, a +160 to +180 range on an Orlando team that's shown that they can beat decent teams on the road here. The Revs are not a decent team. They're on a short week. I'm loving the fact that if I can get this much value on Orlando, I'm taking it.
I mean, somehow two-thirds of the league is getting 3 weeks off and New England's playing two games in 4 or 5 days. You love MLS scheduling. It's fantastic. But I fully agree, Tom. I think we've had enough disagreement for me to lean into the full agreement here. I think that number is completely out of whack. I don't despise, if you just don't like +420 plays for whatever reason and you're just a more conservative better, I don't despise a both teams to score look. Potentially, disclaimer that we're recording this a week before this game happens because of the weirdness of the scheduling. So everything here, take it with a grain of salt. There's a lot that could happen in 6 or 7 days. We mentioned New England, they have a game in between then as well. So just all those caveats out of the way. I absolutely love Orlando at the +425 number that we've seen. I like Orlando at anything. You hit the nail on the head, +160, +180. That's what this seems like to me. +4 something is absolutely wild. There's been weirdness for Orlando. You know, they got absolutely thrashed at home multiple times this year, even away from home where they're good. They got slammed by Montreal. They didn't score a goal in Chicago, which, like, that's a really bad sign when that happens. But that was, at this point, a couple of months ago. So I'm not going to put too much stock into that. Overall, there are only two teams, Tom, in the league that have better away points per game, and that's the Red Bulls and LAFC. LAFC is probably the best team in MLS. And the Red Bulls, we've talked about them being the best away team in the league all year. So that kind of snuck up on me when I saw that data. Orlando's really, really good away from home, despite some of those slips that we mentioned. Yeah, the number is completely out of whack. Give me Orlando 4-1. Let's get it.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for us here. Taylor, I am going to throw out a parlay for the weekend.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to take, like I said, the Nashville and over same game at +155. And you know what? I'm going to tack on my other play here. I'm going to tack on the Red Bulls. You're going to be getting +456 here. Let's see if we can't cash a nice ticket on that. So that's the three leg here. Nashville money line, Nashville over 2.5, and Red Bulls money line.
All sensible plays. I'm obviously against you on the Red Bulls play. But like I say, like, that's probably one of the 5 or 6 best teams in MLS, I think, in terms of just pure talent, kind of underperforming a lot of games. I mean, the amount of games for the Red Bulls this year that should have been wins that turned into draws. That's the only thing they got to figure out. Once they figure that out, you might finally get a little bit of hype, at least toward a deep Red Bulls playoff push, but we'll see. That is a huge, we'll see. But I think that's reasonable enough. I'm not giving a parlay out. Like I say, I had Charlotte in that game. I'm going a little bit more simple over Nashville, San Jose, simple under Sporting New England, just taking the Sounders straight up money line and then Orlando.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly, Major League Soccer on the Bet Rivers Network.